This morning we have got a massive privilege of Johan bringing a word to us. I think much of what is on his heart this morning was actually also, or what I saw at least in intercession was also done in ministry time, but I'm just briefly going to pray for him. Just stretch out your hands towards him, please, guys. Lord, thank you for Johan as well. Lord, we know that he's got so much. And you've done so many things in his life, but also know that there's promises over his life, Lord, for them all. So we just come and stand as a family of believers alongside him and say thank you for the more in this season of his life and Tani Rihanna's life and the decades to come. Thank you for the more. Thank you for the more. Thank you for the more. Thank you that you'll use him and lead him this morning and that we're blessed to have him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Right, can we just pray together? Lord, there's nothing like your presence. And thank you, Lord, that this morning you told us so clearly of more, and you speak about deeper water, and you speak about clearer vision and light, Lord, at intercession. And this morning we just commit the next few moments to you, and we ask, Lord, that you'll do exactly that in our lives and in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yo, it's a privilege to stand here, but also not so easy. But you know what? This is where I have to be this morning. Not there, not in my garden in Stanford, as beautiful as it is. Yeah. But good news for you, I'm not here every Sunday morning. It's only today. You know, and it's so, why I'm saying that, it's so wonderful to know that you are in the will of God. And there is nothing like that. It's the safest place to be, the best place to be. And you know, the message I'm going to share with you this morning is actually my life. It's so near to me. And I was aware of God's presence in my life from a very, very young age, even before I got to know him. I was just aware of him in many ways, which I won't share this morning. And when I was a young boy, I developed asthma. I don't know where it came from. I still remember the very day it happened. We were at the beach with a river mouth, and it was a wonderful day, and that night, my chest closed up. I say I didn't know where it came from because it was not in the family. Nobody had it. Not even my parents realized at that moment what was happening, but I struggled for many years for that. Really, really, it had a big effect on my life. Even on my size, I should have been bigger than I am. My dad was a head taller than me. But you know, that's God's purposes for my life. I believe I have to look what I look like, so I've made peace with that. And then I imparted this thing. And then, because of the asthma, I had a lot of contact with doctors. And one day, out of the blue, I told my parents, I want to become a doctor. And that was also not in the family. So I had a bit of resistance, you know, and questioning and so on, but the Lord put it in my heart, and that's what I became, because he said so. But I want you to remember what I said. It came through a crisis, through asthma. Yeah, and then I imparted it to my children. You know, I would sit with them in the evenings. Those days we still had huisgodsdienst, you know, after a meal. Sue's smiling because she knows what I'm talking about. And Audrey, their son, actually shared that huisgodsdienst with us in his matric year because he lives with us. And then I would speak to them and I would say, you know, God's got an A plan for your life. And while I'm still saying that, my eldest son is looking up because he wants to go to watch the A team on TV. So I became more sensitive, you know. I tried to bring my messages in line with the TV programs, you know, not to spoil them. But you know what? My children got the message. All three of them. And I can just thank God for that. And you know, one reason why I'm so glad to be in this church is because it's a church of young people and of many children. And whenever I see you, I see purpose. And I see what God is going to do. Pietri, what he's going to do in your life, Karin. And so many others here, you know. I'm so excited. And even Retief and Edna, sorry I didn't mention you first. But, you know, I'm so excited about what the Lord is going to do, what I'm still going to see. And one reason why I want to live longer, I want to see what God is going to do in my grandchildren. Because God has given me amazing promises for them. I actually, at the, when they were dedicated to the Lord, I had the opportunity to share prophetically what the Lord has told me. And at the moment it's not there, I promise you, with their temper tantrums and stuff, you don't see any of those promises. But you know what? I want to live to see that happen. So that's what this morning is about. God's purposes for our lives. And on Thursday evening at intercession, there were three young people. They didn't come at the same time. So the person that came last didn't hear what the other said. And Retief has taught us before we start praying, we ask, how are you? So I did that. I did that. And you in his absence. And you know what? All three said the same thing. We lack purpose in our lives. And I said, you know how prophetic that is? Because that's what they're going to talk about on Sunday. And I just hope by reading the Word of God this morning and sharing something of my life, that there will some light will come, you know, about this. I had a dream of you last night, Charles. I'll share it with you afterwards. Right, so, yes, can we have the next? The purpose of life is a life of purpose. Whether you are a Christian or not, that's true for all of us. Every human being in this world. That is one of the most profound statements ever made. Who made this statement? Robert Byrne. I've never heard of Robert Byrne, if any of you. I thought, yes, what a Bible teacher or theologian or very... You know who was Robert Byrne? He's immortalized in the Hall of Fame in the States. Why? Because he was an instructor of pool and billiards. But you know what? I believe Robert Byrne has fulfilled the purpose of his life. Otherwise, well, I hope part of it at least. We'll come to the rest. Right, the next. What does the world say, or the English dictionary say about purpose? Three things. I love this because they don't know how near they are to the Word of God. They say the first thing about purpose is a reason for which something exists or is done or made. And the second thing it says an intended or desired result or aim or goal. So purpose has a beginning and an end. Do you see that? And then the third one, look there, determination, resoluteness. I had to look up on Google to see how you pronounce that word. Did you know there's a little link you can go to? Yeah. And then I thought it was resoluteness. And no, the lady said resoluteness. So I'm saying it the right way. But that means determination. So you see, purpose has a beginning, it has an end, and in between, there's a lot of things happening. And I'm going to share about that this morning. Okay, what does the world say about purpose? This is one of the giant spiritual leaders in the world, but he's not a Christian. He's the Dalai Lama from Tibet. He's a Buddhist, and he says the purpose of life is to be happy. Well, if that was true, I'm out of the purpose of God for half of my life because I'm not happy all the time. So obviously, that can't be true. So it's wrong. But please don't take that home, eh? Purpose of life is not to be happy. When we go, what we're going to do now is to see what is the truth and where do we find that in the Word of God. Okay. Now, I don't think there's a person here this morning that does not know this scripture. You know it by heart. We were taught at mother's knee this scripture because there are no visitors here this morning. I'm speaking to family. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know what I saw there? Not who are called. I always thought it was called. It's the called. Every one of us here are called by God for a purpose. We are not here by mistake. Not a single person. You know, when you walk in the street, sometimes when they see these guys with their placards at the robots, you know, my heart aches, you know, but I just say, Lord, this person is so precious, created by you for a purpose. And the purpose is not to stand here with a placard saying, you know, I need money. Missing the purposes of God. So we are called for a purpose. His purpose. You see that? I didn't put that italics there. scripture. Next. But we have to find that purpose. We have to find it. And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This scripture says two things, profound things. The first thing, the will of God is perfect and it's good. And the second is, we must prove what it is. We must find it out. This scripture says a few things that we sometimes add, does not say a few things that we often add to it. It doesn't say the will of God is easy or always understandable to us. It doesn't say that. It said it's good and it's perfect. And then the next one. Once we found God's purpose, we have to walk in it. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you know that God had a master plan for each of us? And I was not out of the will of God when I told my children about an A plan. I always say, please try and find out what the A plan is, not the B. God is so gracious, there will be a B, but A is the best. And this scripture also says, adds another dimension to purpose. It brings us into the picture. Did you see there? Because it says, somebody must do the walking. God has the plan, but we must find that out, and then we must walk in it. Can we have the next one? Now I'm going to touch on very, very, very sensitive ground, because there's two things about purpose of God that is sometimes difficult for us. Because we are human, we make plans, but we're also not perfect. God is perfect, we're not. And we have to have that humility to say, God, you're sovereign, your will is perfect, not mine. I can make plans, I must, but I must also have the humility to bow the knee and say, Lord, I missed it there. I was wrong. Because this word says, Proverbs 69 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Did you know that you can only direct something that is moving? Did you know that? If we don't do anything and inactive, we're not in God's purpose. We have to be on the move all the time, you know. And I sometimes overdo it a bit. Ask Rana, you know. I often move a bit too much around. But I honestly believe that you must be on the move. God can't direct something that's stationary. You can't direct a plane that's on the ground. It has to be in the air. I love that. Sorry. I love my own words. Okay, and then Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man. And you know that man, they could have said, Johan, there in the place of man, because I've got many plans, I promise you. But it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And that I had to find out sometimes in a difficult way. And I'll just give you a few examples of that in my own life. Right. Who in this one? Not God not only determines the process, he determines the timing. You know, that is so difficult for us, because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, if you are a gardener than me, you know you are very well aware of seasons. And timing. It's now winter season. It's a time of pruning. But the springtime is coming and the summertime of harvest. But there is a time for everything under the sun. And my daughter, last week in Stanford, she's a clinical psychologist. She gave me a book to read. And it's wonderful if your children start teaching you, eh? She gave me a book by Sue Monk Kidd. And I read this, I went through the whole book, and this, the book is about waiting. That's what it is. And I got this from that book. Waiting often produces the time and space for grace to happen. Isn't that profound? Waiting produces the time and space for grace to happen. And we all need grace. But we want it like this consumer thing we have of the now. We live in a now world, né? Quick food, everything quick. But no, no, God, as Rana always says, never early, never late, but always in time. So this, and I'll come about this waiting thing because it's an extremely important part of discovering the purposes of God in your life. This is the waiting time. Right. Now I want us, if we leave today here with only this message, what I'm going to say now from the Word of God, then you have got the message. And this is in Psalm 133, verse 8. It says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. I want you to speak that out because there's power. Can I say 1, 2, 3? Will you say that? The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. That is for me and it's for everyone here this morning. Because your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever and you do not forsake the work of your hands. You may be at a point this morning where you don't see that happening, but I tell you, the Lord, if you're a child of God, called by Him, His workmanship, He will fulfill His purpose in your life. And then this beautiful word, Isaiah 14:24, where the Lord reminds us who He is. He says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. You know, I just realized when I look back over my own life, I mean, if you know where I come from, the family I come from, I mean, if you see what God has done in my life, you know, I stand humbly before you, but I honestly, that's just God. Only God that could have done it. But this must have been in His life that day when I was born. You know, and He knew. And I, by the grace of God, I managed to find the way. And not that I always found the right way on the first time, but I did by the grace of God. I think I discovered most of His purposes for my life. Right, now the next one, I'm going to speak this morning, the rest of this morning, I'm going to speak about Joseph. And my children said, Dad, why didn't you choose somebody less perfect than Joseph? Because you'll put the people under condemnation. So I said, I can't. Because there's no other person in the Word of God, apart from Jesus Christ. Nobody in the Old Testament. Where, you remember the definition of purpose I gave you at the beginning? Where everything falls so beautifully in place, as with this man. Because he had a dream. He was not an old man, he had it when he was a young boy. The scripture said this morning, it's old men that dream dreams. He must have been old before his time because he had a dream when he was very young. He was prophetic. He had the prophetic gifting. And he dreamt this dream of a sheaf and 11 other sheaves bowing before this big sheaf. And you know, his brothers weren't stupid. They could count. 11 and 1 makes 12. And they realized, he got the dream. And he's the big chief. And what he's saying is we're all bowing before him. You know what? 13 years later, there's the second picture. It happened exactly as the dream was. Where did that dream come from? It was from God. He realized it. And you know, he's the only man in the Old Testament where there's not one negative thing said about him. He never had a wrong attitude. Never said a wrong word, never did anything wrong. The fact that he was the witbroekie was not his fault. It was because he was so perfect. His father, the old man used to say, is voorgetrek. He was the 11th child, but he made him a coat with long sleeves. That means he couldn't do hard work, manual labor. And that was supposed to be the firstborn. That's not his fault. That's his dad's fault. There's nothing wrong. He never ever, you know, they say that he is the foreshadowing of Christ in the Old Testament, this man. So I'm going to say, I'm going to look at some things of his life, what we can learn from to see how did this guy fulfill the purposes of God in his life? What was he as a person? What was his character? Because we can learn from that. And I want you now, with all respect, ask you, when I mention these things about Joseph, just to mirror yourself and myself in that mirror of a life and see, are we actually doing what he's doing and are we on our way to fulfill our purpose? Or is there anything that is hindering us from getting where we should be? Can we have the first? Now, because there's no visitors here, I don't even need this slide because you are all, most of you brought up in Christian homes. You know the story of Joseph, but I'll quickly run through it. He got a dream from God when he was very young. Actually, two dreams. I didn't go into the second. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was a household slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the chief executioner of the Pharaoh. He was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned. And there he interpreted the dreams of his fellow prisoners. Later on, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He was promoted to prime minister of Egypt, second in charge. And he provided food for his brothers in time of famine and for many others. Now, the purpose of this message is not to draw all the correlations between Joseph and Jesus, because that you can do by yourself. But I want to concentrate on a life that fulfilled its purpose. And what was the first thing we see about Joseph? Joseph guarded his heart. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is that one, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. You know, the Afrikaans het gesê, bewaar jou hart meer as alle ander dinge, want daaruit is die oorspronge van die lewe. How do I know he guarded his heart? You know, he had so much opportunity for resentment. Resentment against whom? Do you think that to be sold by your brothers and to become a slave and to be put in prison innocently is what he planned for his life? No, he didn't plan that. I don't know what he planned. Scripture doesn't say. But that was definitely not on his agenda for his life. But not once do we read that he resented any person. And we know it's true because later on, as you'll see, in his reaction, in his communication with his brothers, there was no resentment. He never questioned God. Never. Why did this happen to me? Why should I be the one? Never. I mean, this is superhuman, I tell you guys. Perhaps he did do it, that is not in scripture, I don't know. But in the end, from his character, we can see that he overcame whatever he had in his heart. And then Genesis 45, we read these words when he first saw his brothers. He said, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. He didn't shed a few tears, guys. He wept that he could be heard a few rooms away. There's nobody else in Scripture where it speaks more about a person weeping than Joseph. Not even a woman. Sorry to say that. And he's a man, eh? He's a woman. And this guy, you know, Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. It's mentioned once. But this guy mentioned four times in Scripture. He wept, and I won't go into those situations. But all of this tells me this guy kept his heart soft. Because from our heart, everything flows forth. The second thing about Joseph is he accepted the storms of his life. I want to first read that bottom part. This again comes from the book from Sue Monkeet. She says, crisis is a transforming crucible of our lives. How did Joseph become this angel, this superhuman? Do you think he would have become it if he wasn't sold to his brothers, if he wasn't went through the experience with Potiphar's wife, if he didn't end up in prison. I don't think so. So we need crisis in our lives for God's purposes to be established in our lives. And I just want to read, I can't say it as beautifully as this person said it. He says, there may be many distressing circumstances we find ourselves in, and some of them may even be unjust, as were those in Joseph's life. However, as we learn from the account of Joseph's life, by remaining faithful and accepting that God is ultimately in charge, we can be confident that God will reward our faithfulness in the fullness of time. You know, they say it's through crisis and difficulties that we learn what love is, what joy is, what peace is, because we have to trust on God. I just want to share something with you that happened in my life, a very profound thing. After I became a doctor, I had other plans for my life. Rihanna and myself went to East London. I wanted to work as a public, you know, as a pediatrician in Cecilia Makiwane Hospital in East London, because I come from a missionary background. I was a missionary doctor when I was very young. I thought I wanted to work with poor, I always wanted to work with poor people, you know, not the rich. And then the guy in our department who was sent overseas to study neurology in pediatrics didn't come back. He was sent to Vancouver, to one of the one of the most famous institutions. And while being there, he let my boss know he's not coming back. So she called me to office one day and she says, "Johan, I want you to take Gordon's place. I want you." I was not the first choice, as you can see. I was second choice. She said, because he was brilliant. He was absolutely, I can't tell you how special that man was. But Gordon didn't come back, so they had to opt for second best. So I spoke to Rihanna, and I said, I just knew I had to do it. So we went to London for a year, and Scotland, so where I now became, you know, what they call a pediatric neurologist. But before I left, I knew if I was going to follow an academic career, I have to do a PhD, and I got a subject for my PhD. And I also, but I couldn't register before I got back. So, but I told a few people about what I was planning to do. I actually told the head of department, not many people, the head of department. And she said, in that case, you must go to this and this guy in Edinburgh, and he will teach you how to measure intracranial pressure in children and so on. Okay, then it all came back. My first day at work, somebody said, "You know what, Johan? Somebody has registered for a PhD at UCT. I said, "What's the topic?" And they gave me the topic. It was my topic. And you know what? I knew where it came from. I knew it was the person who gave me the topic. I had all the chances in life to be resentful and to say, well, that's it. But the Lord worked, and I was a bit, I promise you, I was not as perfect as Joseph. I was resentful. And then the Lord dealt with me. And you know what happened? That topic, which was my first choice and which that other guy took from me, never realized, he never finished his PhD, because that type of meningitis waned and there were no patients. And then the TB epidemic in Cape Town started coming up, and the Lord said, well, that's it. That's what you must do. And the rest of my life was dedicated to research in TB meningitis of the brain. The good thing is, I found my purpose. But the bad thing is I was tied and conquered to Tygerberg Hospital for the rest of my life. All the good options that people gave me and said, wouldn't you like to do this or that? I couldn't take it, because this was the purpose of my life. I had to complete it. I spent 40 years in that hospital. And Pietri knows, I one day gave a message and I spoke about Tygerberg as a place where I had my beautiful death. Because you have to work in a state hospital in South Africa. Yeah, just leave it there. Okay, the next one. Joseph served faithfully. And I can make it long, but I'm going to make it short. Wherever Joseph worked, he was faithful and he gave his best. In Potiphar, I'll just go about into this one in Potiphar's house, Genesis 39. Then Potiphar made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. This is a boy of 17, 18 years old. So it was from the time that he has made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. You know, this guy gave his best in the situation where he was. And I want to encourage us this morning. You may not have the perfect job right now at the moment. This is not where you want to end up. But you know what? To end up as the Prime Minister of Egypt, you have to be faithful where you are. God sees that and he blesses that. And God often blesses the people we work for because just of us being there. So never underestimate the value of the timing of the place where you're working right now. I know I'm touching on sensitive ground now, but I must say it. The next one is Joseph served faithfully in prison. I'm not going to read that part, but exactly what happened in Potiphar's house happened in prison. He was promoted in prison, and all the other prisoners were under his care. And exactly the same. And then the third thing is, next one, when he was promoted as prime minister in Egypt, he did exactly the same there. He says, so when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. The Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says, you do. This is the king of Egypt. You know what? There's such a lesson in this. If we want to become what God has intended for us to become, we cannot underestimate or look down on where we are right now, our current situation, because that's part of God's plan for us. And what we are doing right now with where we are will determine whether we will end up where we're supposed to end up. Right, next. Whew, this one. Joseph fled from sexual temptation. If there's one thing that can really sink God's purposes in our life, it is sin. Because the definition of sin, I don't know, you know, all the Greek and Hebrew. I'm a doctor, I'm not a theologian. But apparently they say the meaning of the word sin is missing the mark. What is missing the mark? Not getting where you're supposed to get. God is aiming there and you end up there. And you know, this is just the grace of God, all of us. We could all have gone that way, you know, but also the grace of God in his life. What did he do? Genesis 39:12. Potiphar's wife caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. He was only 18 years old at that stage. But he was apparently very handsome. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he ran outside. What did he do with sexual temptation? He fled. What the scripture says, what should we do? 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lusts. He did exactly that. Yes, so I must be honest with you. It's the grace of God in that moment that helped him. And I'll tell you in a moment how God was present in his life. But it is, it was obviously the grace of God and the power of God in his life that helped him to flee that. Next one, Joseph forgave. You know, this man had a lot of reason to have unforgiveness in his heart. I mean, imagine being the favorite son, then put in a deep pit to kill you and then eventually sell you to foreigners who sell you as a slave and then ending up in prison. I mean, how much reason did he have to have unforgiveness. But just look how he reacted towards his brothers in Genesis 50. When the dad died, Jacob, they thought now is the time that Joseph is going to get us. But Joseph told them, don't be afraid of me. Am I a God to judge and punish you? As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. For he brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, what you meant for evil, God turned around for good. I want to tell you one thing today. There are many people out there who mean evil, who has in their minds evil for us. And we have all experienced it. We've experienced it in our work situation, in our relationships with people. Not everybody out there is for us. But you know what? God will turn around that evil into something good if we are where we are supposed to be in a relationship with the Lord. Next one. Joseph's life was a testimony, and I want to come back to his faithfulness again. You know, we often want to give our testimony, but we don't want to be a testimony, or we are not a testimony. A testimony, a witness, can't be the guy at work who doesn't do his work well, or who is forever in arms up with, you know, in bad relationships. That's not a testimony or a witness. You can only have a testimony if you are a witness. Look at Joseph, Genesis 39. This is now Potiphar. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. You know what? The world sees it when God's hand is on our lives. And then we are a witness. And the second thing is, when he was with Pharaoh in Genesis 41, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Can you imagine an Egyptian king, knowing nothing about God, have contact with a person and then sees the Spirit of God in him? You know, the Spirit of God in the Old Testament was only given to kings, prophets, and priests. I think Joseph was all three. He definitely ended up a king. He was a prophet, and I think he was a priest as well. But he had the Spirit of God in him, and people saw it. Next. Oh, I love this one. We sang that first song this morning, which Pietri and Natasha led us sing. Give God the glory, all glory to God. You know, when people say, see God in you, and they say how cute you are, how clever you are, how special you are. Oh, it's nice, eh? It's very flattering. What did David do? What did Joseph do? Genesis 40, when he was laying out the baker's dream. They said to him, we each had a dream and there is no interpreter of it. That already prepares the soil for pride. Nobody can, but I can. What did Joseph say? Do not interpretations belong to God? Immediately giving the honor to God. And then when he was laying out Pharaoh's dream, or explaining Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and listen here, there is no one who can interpret it. Joseph knew I can, and he had all the opportunity to exalt himself. What did he say? So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. Whew, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this guy. And all of these things point or kept him on the right road for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in his life. Next one. Joseph had a close relationship with God. They say, I've remembered the exact times that it said between Genesis 37 and Genesis 40, how many times we read the words, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Everything happened through relationship. And you know, I love it about Retief and Edna. You know that this is really one of the foundation stones of their ministry. The relationship, all the time, even this morning. It was about, what is your relationship? Do you want to get closer to what God is doing? Can we go back to that one, please? Yes. Okay, I think we can move on, for time's sake. Let's move to the next one. So, when I started, I mentioned that scripture that we all know. But you know what? They always say we must read a scripture in context. And the next scripture says, just after that, the next verse says, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The second thing I want to leave with you this morning, our ultimate purpose in life is not to feed Egypt or the hunger. That was not the main purpose of Joseph's life. What did we speak about this morning about the grain, about how hungry the people were, about how he supplied food? No. We spoke about the character of Joseph. And I want to encourage the guys who were at prayer intercession on Thursday night. You know what? It's wonderful that you don't see it yourself, otherwise you would not have been humble. You're not supposed to see the good things that the Lord is doing in your lives. But I want to tell you, you are in the perfect will of God, and his purposes are being fulfilled in your life. The fact that you were at intercession on a cold night in winter, and the fact that you're here this morning, God is fulfilling his purposes in your life. That is, you know, when a person dies, and what is the legacy that you leave behind? Of course, one will say, you know, he did this or that, he had so much money. But you know what? In the end, that's not what people talk about. They talk about the person you were. What has God deposited in your life? How much did you portray the image of Jesus Christ? So, I want to come to the last slide, and I want to read this. And I know it's a long piece, but I want to read it to you and to me. Because there is nothing that makes a father happier than to see the purposes of God being fulfilled in his children's lives. There's nothing that makes our Heavenly Father happier than to see his purposes fulfilled in our lives. Now, at the end of his life, Jacob, the arch father, the patriarch, called all 12 of his sons around his bed. He was now dying. It was his last moments. And he gave a word for each of his sons. Can I just be asked this morning, have any of you read that? Yes. If you haven't, you haven't never read through the Bible, so it's very, very, you shouldn't say no. But you know, most of the things he said to his other sons were not very flattering. There are actually some things that he said to them that I won't be able to repeat here this morning. You can go and read it. Read it afterwards. But what did he say about Joseph? He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. But his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Not there, I first read separated from his brothers. No, it says separate from his brothers. He was on a different level, Joseph. Right, so this is a message I would just like to leave with us. And I'm going to pray now along these lines. And you're very welcome afterwards. If there's anything that touched you or that you think we could pray together with you, most welcome to come. But if I just want you to, if you want God's purposes to be fulfilled in your life, and I'm sure we all do, then I'll ask you to agree with me in this prayer that I would like to pray for us now. Can we close our eyes? Yes, Lord, we first want to worship you as sovereign God, the one who is our Father, the one who gave us life, and gives us purpose. Lord, we thank you that you've called us. We thank you for the way you love us and direct our steps and will never leave us. Lord, this morning we were reminded of our past, bad things that's happened to us, even from our earliest childhood years. Lord, and even now, this very moment, some of us may be in very difficult situations. Lord, we ask that you will forgive us where we miss the mark because of unbelief and sin, and even resented people, and even questioned you. Lord, we also ask that you'll forgive us where we abandon dreams that you've given us, Lord. But Lord, then we ask, Lord, that your purposes, we thank you that your word said this morning, your purposes will be fulfilled in our lives because we are your children, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you will help us to submit to your timing and the process. And if we are, Lord, this very moment in difficult situations, which you don't understand, Lord, let us always remember Joseph. Remember what he went through and the way you changed him and how he was transformed, Lord, in the time of difficulties. And yes, Lord, and then we just ask that you will fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and help each of us to become what you've planned for us to be, and that is, Lord, to be conformed to the image of your Son. Amen.